We are now interrupting your scheduled programming to let you know that you are tuned into the Noise Canceling Podcast. I am your host, Sheree L. Smith, Editor-in-Chief of Laptop Mag, and today I am joined by...
I'm Matt Phillips, TechRadar's video producer.
I'm Kenneth Butler. I'm the social media editor for TechRadar, Tom's Guide, Tom's Hardware, and Laptop Magazine.
AKA the world's busiest man. And I'm John McCann, TechRadar's deputy editor.
Wait, are you the world's most busiest man?
Ken is.
I have a lot of hats, you know?
I mean, you know, that's right. I do agree with that assessment. I that's why I was surprised with John. I'm like, is John the world's most busy man?
No.
All right.
Absolutely not.
Outside of my question, we have started a new segment. Let's just get into it, called The Big Question. So, Microsoft has announced that they are closing down all the Microsoft stores and turning them into experience centers. I've only been to the Microsoft store in New York, and I thought it was kind of an event space already. I've only been there for events and not to shop. But that's neither here nor there. The big question this week is, what brand could make a good experience space, and what do they need to draw you in? So I'm going to go to Kenneth first.
I have a really good idea here. I'm very excited about it. What if you went to a store and you wanted fitness gear?
Go on.
And yeah, I'm building to it, guys. And say... say you wanted to test out a Peloton bike, or you wanted to test out a smart treadmill, or you wanted to test out a smart rowing machine. What if all of those devices were in one location and you walked in with your smartphone, downloaded the app, paired it to each device and tested each device, and then maybe walked out of the store with a smart punching bag with, you know, sensors in the boxing gloves, or you just got in a good workout for free and you went home feeling a little bit better about yourself?
I have a feeling that you just want to stop paying gym membership. It's what it sounds like to me, right?
No, not at all. There's no ulterior motive here.
It's like you walked into a mattress store and got a nap.
Yeah, exactly. What if you could just walk into a mattress store and test out a mattress for 4 or 5 hours? It'd be great.
There used to be a club in New York that let you do that.
Really?
No, mattresses. Like, the whole premise was that you could it was like a social club, but you could make reservations to take naps.
I mean, I am down for that. 100%.
I don't know if it's still open.
What piece of gym equipment are you looking to test out, Kenneth?
I would test out so many things. I mean, I used to row in college. So shout out to NYU Rowing Crew, 2006, 2007. A rowing machine would be great. You know, it's a good workout. It's high cardio. And if you have a machine that has the water resistance built into it, it feels even more natural. So it's the closest I'll get to a river, probably.
Fair enough.
I like that a lot. It's just like, as Ken said, you download an app, you link it to the machines, but that's where the sort of exercise machines are going. They are becoming a bit more dependent on your smartphone in terms of tracking your workouts and having them collated all in one place. Obviously, Apple has some great partnerships with a few vendors who create these sort of gym equipment where you can just sync it all in with your data. So whether you're going for a run, you know, without any equipment, or you're using a machine, it's all together in one nice place. So I like that a lot. And these are huge pieces of equipment, which are expensive and heavy to move. So having a store like that, good idea.
Thanks.
John approves. John's investing. Can't wait to see it, guys.
All right. I'll go next. I think that Dell/Alienware would have a good time doing an experience store. You could try out all the latest PC games, or if you need to go learn how to use GDocs or the Microsoft Suite, you can go there to have classes, much like you would do at the Genius Bar or whatever Apple calls those big glass cubes that they have strategically placed throughout our countries and are just waiting for a signal to mobily strike and destroy us all. And yeah, so I would like a gaming/productivity space that would show both sides of the company. I think it would work well. I think that in the US, especially, Dell has enough of a name brand recognition that it would work better than what Microsoft did. Like, people don't necessarily look to Microsoft to be like, yeah, give me a physical store, because outside of Xbox, they don't really make physical products. Well, in the Surface Books and all of those, if you want to acknowledge those, but that is not enough to make us, that's not enough to make a store, not an interesting store at that.
It's interesting. I would have thought Alienware would have jumped on kind of the esports bandwagon and done something similar to this already, but as far as I'm aware, they haven't. So esports arenas and stuff are becoming a pretty big deal nowadays. So it wouldn't surprise me if something comes down the pipe one day that's similar to this.
Razer has stores. Razer opened a few stores, and I'm not sure how the one in Cali is doing, but when I go to Taiwan, the one in Taiwan is always busy. So I don't, like, the key is getting people interested in the country that it's located in. Like, so I don't know if it's just that Razer's profile isn't big enough in the US, but that doesn't make sense. But I don't know.
I mean, to be honest, though, do you really think someone will go to a store just to test out a laptop to see how it feels? Or would they, are they more likely to just pick one that is on sale somewhere conveniently? Like, what's the benefit to using it in hand?
I think the benefit, especially when you're talking about big box retailers, like, you only get what the big box retailer has. No names will be mentioned. And a lot of times they don't have the different colors. They don't have the different configs.
Right, right, right.
And you can, like, you can really see the potential of this laptop instead of seeing, oh, well, here it is. It's gray. It's got some specs. Like, I derive an immense pleasure from trolling these big box stores when we could go outside and just waiting for someone to ask about a laptop and just watch the sales rep fumble. And then I just swoop in. Oh, it's so good.
Yeah. You know, come to think of it, if I went to a store and they had a setup of laptops all with like a coordinated RGB light display, like the fountains in Vegas, but with keyboard lights, you know, that might push me in a direction of buying a particular system. I hope someone's listening.
Like Vegas, but nerdy.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. Vegas for laptops.
Yeah. All right, John, bring us home. What you got?
Right. So this is a bit more maybe forward thinking, but I would love to see a Boston Dynamics store. I want to see Spot the Dog strutting its stuff around the store. Do some tricks, sit, roll over, jump, fetch, you know, do that. I want to see Atlas do some parkour over some boxes and across some railings, you know. This stuff is really cool, and it's kind of scary as well. It does feel like these are the sort of robots that could overthrow humanity, but I at least want to see them in a fun capacity before that happens. I'm going to have to really get saving to be able to afford one, but, you know, that's what I want to see. Take the kids, fun for all the family.
That's the cutest apocalypse I've ever imagined, you know, just cute puppies in every home. And then one day, all of a sudden, they go dark. They go rogue.
Yeah, exactly. But first, we had Sony's Aibo, and now we have Spot from Boston Dynamics just tearing stuff up.
I mean, a digital kennel or a kennel for robotic dogs. That's a pretty smart idea. We have cat coffee shops.
Yeah, it's got a wireless charging pad, you know, it's got everything. It's got, it's sort of liquid cooled in there as well, so it doesn't overheat, you know, solar powered on the roof, right. The kennel, you see.
We've got investment opportunities.
We're saving the world.
Yeah, Matt doesn't look convinced.
I'm not convinced. I'm not convinced because my answer is so much better than everybody else's answer so far. So I guess I'll just take over. I'm not even going to wait for the host to intro me. I think Sony need an event space because I feel like a lot of Sony products need to be seen to be believed, right? Like PSVR is brilliant, but unless you put that headset on and try it, it's really difficult to sell people on it. Their 4K TVs are awesome. But again, if you're still on HD and you haven't watched Spider-Man Far From Home in 4K, then you're missing out, right? Like it's absolutely stunning. The PS5 would immensely benefit from this. I feel like a lot of people, I think the PS5 is probably going to be more expensive than a lot of people are hoping for, but one way to get those people in willing to spend an extra £100 on it is going to be put the controller in the hand and let them play it. In some, I imagine it quite hipstery, a lot of brushed metal around the place, cafe with baristas who know far more about coffee than they do the 4K TVs on show. And yeah, I'd be there every day. Sign me up.
I kind of want that. These were all great ideas. This was not a phoned in thing. I don't know who to choose. I'm going to disqualify my answer because I'm the host. Like, because Ken's fitness idea really appeals to me because I just need to get my chunky ass in a gym, period. The Boston Dynamics thing.
But these gyms already exist.
I know, but I don't want to pay for...
We're all acting like Kenneth had just invented the gym, but I'm pretty sure...
Yeah, but I don't want to pay for that gym.
It's an improvement on the gyms, Matt. Thank you.
Okay.
John's cute apocalypse idea does appeal to me in a weird sort of way, but that Sony space sounds really sweet. And those, like, you haven't lived till you've seen a Bravia TV in person. Ooh. All right, I'm gonna go with Sony.
Yeah, buddy. They might also be able to sell a few more Xperia 1 Mark IIs and maybe explain that name to you in person, but probably not.
Job well done, Matt.
Is that the phone?
Yeah, the Xperia 1 Mark II. What's wrong with that name? Well, it's actually the Xperia 1 II, isn't it? Are you supposed to say Mark?
No, 1 Mark II.
It is 1 Mark II. Okay.
See, that's a very Europe and Asia thing, because Sony does not give us phone love anymore. So it's just like, huh?
Well, maybe you'd be sold on it if you got to experience one in your local Sony event space. Call me. Call me, Sony. Right. Call me. Yeah. We'll make it happen.
All right. Well, moving on to news. So there's a couple of big news spots that we're going to discuss today. First off, let's talk about Facebook and this growing ad boycott. A lot of companies, like a lot of people have just been fed up with the Zuck and his non-committal wishy-washy approach to hate speech regulation, and people have started pressuring the big companies that spend millions of dollars with Facebook to start pulling their money back, and the companies are listening, and now Zuckerberg is listening. Thoughts?
Yeah, I think what's really interesting in what you said is that Zuckerberg's wishy-washiness. If you look at his statements on Facebook when this started in late May, early June, with the president's tweet about when the looting starts, the shooting starts, you can sort of hear him vacillating between wanting to please both sides of the argument. You know, he didn't want to lose liberal members of Facebook. He didn't want to lose conservative members of Facebook. So he relied on free speech to sort of take that narrow road. And now, you know, there's been a tremendous campaign organized by an organization called Sleeping Giant that does a lot of advertising activism. And as of Friday last week, they had about 150 companies to pull their business from Facebook, their advertising business from Facebook. And now in the span of 4 days, it's jumped to 300 companies. So it's a pretty big statement against Facebook's passive stance on hate speech. It's been really interesting to watch it play out.
I personally knew it was a thing when Verizon said, nah, I'm gonna take my money and go home. And then the next day, Zuckerberg was like, so let's talk about hate speech regulation.
Right, yeah. the amount of money that they lost between, you know, last week and Sunday was about $56 billion. They made $70 billion last year. So it took a significant chunk out of the money that they earned. It's a really powerful statement. And you also have a lot of non-tech companies getting involved. You know, Coca-Cola stepped up on Friday. A company called Unilever owns a bunch of housing goods and also Ben & Jerry's ice cream.
Woo!
And they went as far as to say that they're not going to invest any money on Facebook for the rest of the year, and that they're going to take a look at what is to actually be benefited from advertising on social media, including Twitter. So it's not even just Facebook in some instances.
It's a powerful movement. Money talks, and you know the rest of the saying. I am like, I'm not even going to lie. Like, my heart grew three sizes when I heard that Zuckerberg dropped from the richest people's list, like three slots. I'm like, oh my God, yes, this is change. So good. So good. Thoughts from anyone else before we move on?
I was just going to say, I'm just interested to see where this leaves Facebook. It puts it in a interesting position. You know, fewer advertisers, less money in there, less investment into the site. Is that going to mean fewer features, less monitoring, and is that going to turn users away? I'm wondering what the big knock-on impact could be. Obviously, it's got more than just Facebook. It's got WhatsApp. It's got Instagram. It's not short of social options, but Facebook, as we know it, may be about to change, and potentially for the better.
Yeah, that's the hope, right? I guess my question, and maybe I'll direct this to you, Kenneth, is what does Facebook have to do here? Is it some sort of AI that they implement into the site that looks for these keywords and takes stuff down? Or is it just hiring half the population of the world to monitor what the other half are putting on Facebook?
Yeah, I actually, you know what? They've been doing both for the past couple of years, but they've really stepped up really in both departments, I think. But the most recent change is that they're actually outright banning groups that are problematic. I don't know if you guys have heard of the Boogaloo movement. It is, get ready.
We're going down this racist rabbit hole.
Yeah, I'll be very brief in the detour through the rabbit hole, but it's a loosely organized group of people, mostly motivated by white supremacist interests, who would like to start the race war, so to speak. And they've been arrested by the FBI in some situations. There was a man in Denver who was arrested with assault rifles in his trunk. They were all on their way to protest to sort of take advantage of the unrest and worsen the public discourse that's happening around all these issues around hate speech and racism. So, you know, that's a not large community out there, but it's a pretty active community. And Facebook has outright, you know, sort of scrubbed them from the platform in just a matter of days. We're talking like 100 or so Facebook groups, 200 Facebook pages, private groups, a couple of hundred accounts. Like, they really have sort of dug in and said, okay, we're going to try to clean up the platform a little bit, which is really interesting. It's a little late, but interesting still.
Yeah, and also Reddit have recently closed down some subreddits as well of less nice stuff.
Yeah, Reddit closed down about 2,000 subs, the most prominent of which happens to be the Donald. You know, and if the CEO of Reddit gave an interview with the New York Times where he kind of acknowledged that not everything about the Donald, or not all of the conversations in the Donald, were absolute hate speech or absolute bigotry. There was a large number of people there who were having political discussions, and they were on one side of the spectrum, but they were engaging with Redditors peacefully. But he said the deciding factor was that over time, the more that they tried to work with the moderators to sort of clean out some of the worst sides of the sub, the more the moderators pushed back and wouldn't work with them. So that was what kind of led to the decision, in addition to the current state of unrest that we're dealing with.
And before we move on, I just want to say personally, I don't know if I trust Facebook to put in any more AIs or algorithms or what have you, because there are way too many people that tend to be people of color that end up with these massive Facebook bans because of these keywords that they've got targeted and weighted. ProPublica actually did an article on this, I think either last year or the year before, about Facebook and their wonky algorithm system. So until they get that right, I don't know if I would trust them to be like, hey, we're going to let AI and this fancy algorithm we made take care of all this hate speech, because I don't think they really know what hate speech is. But moving on to a sunnier topic, John.
Hello.
John.
Hi.
I see something in the running order that says you have a secret exclusive. Secrets.
Okay.
Tell me your secret, John.
Get your hopes up and then immediately lower them. Smartphone manufacturer OnePlus has been creating a bit of a hype train around its upcoming affordable smartphone that it's been teasing now for a short while. The day before we recorded this podcast, it announced the name officially, the OnePlus Nord. It had previously been rumored as the Z and the 8 Lite, but no, they've gone with Nord. Okay, fine. It's a bit different, but okay. And they also said it's going to be sub $500. Okay, that's a good price point. That sort of pitches it at the new iPhone SE, Google Pixel 3a XL, that sort of level in the market. So SE, the iPhone SE has become really popular. Obviously, Apple's lowest entry point for an iPhone. So, you know, lots of interest there. So it's got people maybe more excited about the sort of middle of the smartphone market. However, I managed to sit down with the assistant head of OnePlus Nord last week, Mr. Carl Pei, and we chatted about the new handset, and he managed to exclusively confirm to us that this handset will have a Snapdragon 765G chipset, that it will be 5G, and that it will have flagship level cameras. So that's all really interesting stuff, and it will be really interesting to see when we learn even more about this phone whether it can compete with the big names and the emerging names in that middle market.
So the OnePlus Nord, not the OnePlus 7 or 8, 9, 10.
No. So this isn't replacing their flagship line, which is currently at 8. This is, so the flagship line remains, but they're now bringing in a new price point. A new line,
okay,
at a new price point, so that will run alongside it to basically expand the breadth of what it can offer its audience. And OnePlus started out as a mobile phone manufacturer making flagship phones at a mid-range price, and over the past 6 or so years, those prices have crept up and up and up, as they do. So those original fans, and it has some very passionate fans who were buying the handsets in the early days because they were massively undercutting the competition, are now finding that their new OnePlus handset is pretty much the same price. And they've been calling for a while now for OnePlus to bring out an affordable handset, and that's exactly what it's done.
Yeah, it's super interesting stuff. And, you know, me and John did a video on it this morning that went live on Tech Radar's YouTube channel, and there's some interesting comments in here. Something that keeps coming up over and over again that maybe it's worth mentioning is a lot of people wanting this to be $300. So far, OnePlus have just confirmed this is going to be under $500. And me and John talk about it in the video. That's basically speak for $499, right? So there is a huge fan base for OnePlus out there. They're really passionate. But maybe a few people here hoping for something that's probably not going to happen.
You've also got to take into account where the mobile market has moved in the past 6 or so years since OnePlus first arrived on the scene, I think back in 2014 potentially. Phone prices then weren't as much, the flagship phone prices weren't quite as much. They were a few hundred cheaper than they are today. So the whole market has moved up in price from the low end all the way to the top. So yes, you know, 6 years ago, this phone probably would have been around the $200 to $300 mark, but we're now in 2020, which means a mid-range phone will now set you back just below $500.
Just below,
but not as low as three.
Oh Lord. And it wouldn't be noise canceling if we weren't talking about gaming and poking the 5G tree. So Laptop recently put up a article about the future of streaming games as it pertains to 5G. And I mean, in a nutshell, it basically is saying that if you want to stream your games, if you want to do NVIDIA GeForce Now, if you want to do Google Stadia, if you want to do Microsoft Project xCloud, you're going to need 5G. It's pretty much a no-brainer. So please, please, please stop sabotaging the 5G towers. For the love of all that is smooth frame rates, stop doing this thing.
Do it for the gamers.
For the gamers. It pretty much is a no-brainer. Like, faster speeds means faster downloads, means more consistent speeds, which means that if you are streaming, you're not going to get hit with the lag stick and then find yourself on the receiving end of a face shot because you were stuck trying to buffer or reframe or whatever happens in that millisecond that you're trying to get that kill shot. I'm all for progress. I'm all for faster, bigger, better, more powerful. So this goes without saying for me. Like, come on 5G, bring on the game streaming, because if we get faster game streaming, that means that we really get a democratized gaming system. So yeah, people might not have to fork out an arm, a leg, a kidney, the soul of a firstborn to get a PS5 if they can potentially play that game on PS Now, on their tablet, on their crappy Chromebook, on or even on a smartphone.
Yeah, it's really interesting. You know, I think a way that lockdown has affected this that I never anticipated is that big game companies now are doing their video game previews to journalists through game streaming services. So they've just done it with Cyberpunk. There's a few more coming up that I'm not sure I'm allowed to mention. But interestingly, like our gaming writer, Vic Hood, isn't able to participate in those, and she's having to hand that off to somebody else because her internet is terrible. So it's really interesting that this sort of democratization, like you say, of gaming, and everybody's going to be able to game on these mega impressive PCs because all they need is a good internet connection. I can't wait for that day to come, and I can't wait for everybody to be able to enjoy these incredible games no matter what system you have.
Yeah, maybe I could get Kim back to gaming finally.
I'm trying so hard. One day I'll finish Breath of the Wild and then we'll talk.
And it's not just those fast, super fast download speeds either. It's 5G can deliver when it's fully up and running. I'm not saying it can deliver it right now. It's going to take several years for us to feel the real full force of what 5G can do for us and to have that super speedy gaming experience. But it's also the promise of low to zero latency. Like, and that is huge if you're gaming. It's not just about, you know, I can download this game really fast, but the latency is also super important. And when 5G is properly up and running, then that is when we're really going to see it come to the fore.
I can't wait.
I can't wait either, but I'm hoping that this will be, you can't have it without it being everywhere. Like, so that means that rural areas have to be covered as well, because it's no fun if the homies can't get none. So if I'm in New York City and I'm trying to play with someone who is maybe in upstate or doesn't have, or someplace where the internet is a little spotty, it just takes away from the experience. So I'm hoping that as the years go by and we transition into 5G fully, that we will also make concerted efforts around the world to make sure that everyone has access to the technology.
Absolutely. Yes.
Speaking of access, how much do you guys think it will cost to be able to use 5G on a sort of limitless scale like that?
The thing is, it has the potential to carry far more capacity than our 4G networks right. do. And because it's much faster, it means each single person is actually pinging a network tower less often because you come onto it and you can get your stuff so quickly, you're off it again, which frees up more space, which means more people can ping one tower at a time. And it increases the load on the network. So more people will be able to access great internet more of the time, more consistently with better coverage, and it'll be more stable. And the more people on 5G, as we move from 4G to 5G, your 4G signal, if you stay on a 4G phone, your 4G signal will probably improve because the more people moving to 5G, they're spending less time on the towers that you're spending on, which frees up more space on them for your phone, which is maybe not as quick, but it means that you'll be able to access faster speeds because they're not, the clump of 5G users aren't slowing you down. So it is, yeah, pretty exciting.
Yeah, that you sold me on the utopia there.
But it's years away, you know, and as Sherry was saying, until it's sort of 99% population coverage, we're not going to see the true effect that it can have.
Indeed. And iPhone. Let's talk iPhone. Apparently the iPhone 12 is going to be cheaper than the iPhone 11.
But there's a catch.
There's always a catch. Jinx.
Yeah, apparently so, according to one particular report. And obviously we've got to take all of these with a good old pinch of salt. But rumors are currently suggesting that maybe we'll get an entry-level iPhone 12 4G variant, as well as a 5G variant. And that's that 4G variant, which will be the cheap one. And by cheap one, we mean cheaper than the current iPhone 11 is now, which is the entry-level one, which isn't the SE, but the entry-level in the 11 series. It's all very confusing over at Apple now with all these different naming conventions. It's an interesting one. And I personally would be surprised if Apple comes out with, what is it, they're tipping it to have 6 handsets, a mix of 4G and 5G devices later this year, which just, I mean,
yeah,
I don't know what Steve Jobs would make of that sort of splicing of a mainline.
It's kind of exactly what I was going to say. It doesn't feel very Apple. Usually Apple is like, here's your thing, put up with it, right? Hasn't got a headphone jack. That's life now. We've got lightning ports. That's life now. Like, that's very Apple to be like, here's a thing. You might not like it, but...
That's very courageous, though.
That was courageous. You're absolutely right. but yeah, that's what Apple does, right? They're like, here's this thing. This is the new thing. Deal with it. And I assumed that would be the way it would be with 5G. But yeah, all the rumors are coming out saying they're going to have all these different SKUs. One's going to be 5G and one's going to be 4G. And you're going to be able to get a Plus and a Max and everything else under the sun, which just is confusing to me.
And to answer your question really quickly, John, I think that Steve Jobs, if he was still here with us, would be Hulk ripping through his turtleneck. Like, his eyes would be, he'd be doing that whole Lou Ferrigno thing right now at the idea of not more than two iPhones being announced in one sitting.
Yeah, and to go back to what you were saying, Kenneth, like, what is the cost of 5G? That might be the best way to tell, right? We'll see what the iPhone 4G looks like, and we'll see what the iPhone 5G looks like price-wise, and I guess that's the cost of 5G.
Yeah, I mean, that, I am not surprised by that.
So prepare for $1,300?
$15?
Ooh, ouch!
That kind of makes sense, though, right? Like, if you have the top-tier 5G iPhone that costs $1,500, you know that only Jeff Bezos and family are going to be buying it. Apple wants to make some money on the low end too. They want to come down and work with the regular folks on the street. And if you want a hopefully $300, according to OnePlus fans, if you want a $300 iPhone, then you know you got that too. They're covering all the bases.
Yeah, no,
no.
Like, I mean, I'm still wrapping my head around $1,000 smartphone. And if we actually, I guess I'm wrapping my head around a $2,000 laptop if I'm thinking about the Galaxy Fold. So maybe in that line of thinking, a $1,500 laptop iPhone isn't that bad. But yeah, no, that's still bad. Speaking of things that are bad, Harry Potter game, it's finally coming, and it's not like it. I don't know if it's a good time to be a wizard or not. I don't know. Like, I personally do not agree with J.K. Rowling's opinions on trans women and trans people as a whole. No TERFs allowed. But yeah, this game is coming, and I'm wondering how it's going to do when it comes.
Yeah, this is a weird one. I mean, this game has been teased and leaked for what seems like five or so years now, maybe. This sort of open world Harry Potter RPG. Imagine GTA in the Harry Potter universe, I think, is kind of what they're going for here. But yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, part of me thinks maybe every time they've been ready to announce this game, J.K. Rowling has said something and they've cowered away from announcing the game. It almost wouldn't surprise me at this point. But yeah, it's an interesting one. I'm a huge Harry Potter fan. Any more Harry Potter content I can get, I'm all over it. But the rumors are this will be out next year. It'll be out on PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X. So yeah, exciting stuff all around. More Harry Potter's good, as far as I'm concerned.
I mean, this game would, I think, put the sort of new consoles on the radar for a demographic that maybe are less invested in them at the moment, as it stands with the current game list.
Yeah, it's interesting, right? I think Sony are kind of hanging their hat on Spider-Man to do that, I think, which is the reason they've announced Spider-Man Miles Morales, and that's got a lot of hype around it, although their messaging around that was a little bit confusing. Is it a brand new game? Yeah. Is it a sequel to the previous game? Is it DLC? Nobody still really knows, as far as I'm aware, but everybody's saying something different. But I think that's what they're going for. But I think you're absolutely right. I think Harry Potter kind of has a different demographic, I guess, that I think you maybe are right, will attract new people to these consoles.
I feel like this game is like one part Batman Arkham City and, you know, like one part Dungeons and Dragons. Like, you know, you're taking the intricacy of world building that you get from the Batman games and then throwing the Harry Potter world into that. It sounds really sort of fascinating. Like, can you imagine walking through Hogwarts and discovering the Room of Requirement? I think it's called the Room of Requirement.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm a little rusty on my Harry Potter. But like, to be able to walk through the school and find all those sort of like treasures and hidden spaces, you know, is Moaning Myrtle going to show up in this game? She
Hope
better.
So.
Cause like, you know, that's part of the canon.
Yeah.
Here. Am I getting a little too Harry Potter nerd? Maybe I'm revealing myself, but it does sound really exciting.
You went so deep into, you went as deep as I go into comic book lore, and you typically shame me for that. Like I'll be talking to Ken, we'll be talking about DC, and I'll be like, yeah, but Wannabes and Rocket Bug, and he'll be like, what? Like, if you have watched the such and such and such and such and the Silver Age, it turns into a whole thing. But kudos to that nerdiness. I didn't know you had it in you, bruh.
Sorry. It runs deep. Hours of YouTube here.
All right. With that, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. We're going to the labs. We're going to see what's there. There's going to be some laptops and maybe a TV. Oh, and some headphones too. And a Chromebook. Oh, I don't want to talk about this Chromebook, but I guess we're going to into the labs. All right.
I feel like it needs a round of applause every time. I'm always a bit upset when I'm not on the podcast and it doesn't get as much love as it should.
Oh, Lord. So here we are, one of my favorite sections, reviews. So I am in the process of reviewing the ASUS ROG Zephyrus Duo 15. As the name suggests, it is a gaming laptop and there is a Duo in it. So that means that there are two of something. And in this case, it is two screens. So similar to the... So, in a similar vein to the ASUS ZenBook Pro Duo, the Zephyrus Duo 15 has two screens. So, on the top, you get, well, both screens are 4K, but on the top, you get a gorgeous 4K OLED, beautiful, display. And on the, like, right below that, you get a secondary 4K display, which above its the ZenBook Pro Duo, this one actually raises up, because I actually reviewed the Pro Duo and that was a big complaint amongst people, because you want to be able to game or to interact with the big screen and look at the little screen without having to do eye acrobatics, especially when you're gaming. Because if I'm trying to finish this quest, or if it's a really tricky part and maybe I'm using YouTube as crib notes, maybe I'm on gamefacts.com. I'm not saying that I do that type of thing, but whatever, don't judge me. I want to be able to do it without having to take my eyes away from the main attraction, which is the big screen. I love extravagance. I love opulence. I love over the top. And it just gives me all of that. And it actually, compared to some of its competitors at 5.3 pounds, it's actually a light gaming laptop. And on our battery test, it lasted over 5 hours, which with two displays, 4K, like, that's actually incredible. With a overclockable Core i9 Intel 10th gen processor and NVIDIA's RTX 2080 GPU, it's just kicking ass and taking names. It's just dominating on all of our testing. And I cannot wait for you to read this review. Like, this is just... This outlandish stuff is why I got into the business to begin with. It is just that cutting, bleeding edge tech that everyone's like, "What? We're welcome to the future." It just embodies that.
So, talking of extravagance, Cherie, why don't you let the people know how much this extravagance is going to cost you, and then everybody will realize, "Oh, I don't want that."
$3,000.
Yeah, the same as 10 OnePlus Nords, allegedly.
Hello. that's for premium gaming laptops. That's actually pretty much par for the course. I've reviewed a $9,000 gaming laptop before, so.
So this is cheap.
It's
a bargain.
Yeah.
And you're getting two screens.
Yeah. Like, it's like mid-range.
I was actually lucky enough to see this thing sort of in person just before lockdown hit. And one of the interesting things that Asus were talking about when I was there was that they don't consider this just a gaming laptop, right? This is a content creation machine. They're very much targeting this at video editors like myself and sort of audio producers and that sort of thing as well, because that second screen could be used for pretty much anything, right? If you're streaming video games, you could have your Twitch chat down there. If you're video editing, you could have your timeline down there and leave the big monitor up top just for sort of looking at sort of the program that you're editing. So yeah, it, as a gaming laptop, it piqued my interest as well up until they told me the price. And I was like, bye-bye. Bye-bye now. Bye-bye.
I would still try to mortgage my future a little bit to get it. I like just a little bit. Just I just love the design of, I love out weird designs and things like when laptop companies think outside the box, because it's kind of hard to innovate on the design of a laptop. It's a box with a screen and a keyboard. What can you do with it? And Asus consistently finds ways to subvert that design language and come up with something totally new, whether it's the ergo hinge or like the drop top vent or a dual screen. So kudos to Asus.
If I saw it at the laptop store, I would 100%. I'd gravitate to all the RGB lights coming off of that bottom screen. You know, I would be trying to touch it and figure out what it could do. And then, you know, I'd walk out $3,000 poorer, possibly.
Yeah, you would.
Yeah, it really is. It really is a standout system. It looks amazing. Absolutely.
I mean, I'm a sucker for anything like multi-screen like that. I was driving Audi's all-electric e-tron last week, and that has a similar setup, to be honest. A screen stacked on top of another screen, both touch screens, both in that center console, and you know, you go into maps on the top screen and your full QWERTY keyboard's on the bottom screen. You're like, why doesn't every car have two touch input screens like this? It makes it so easy to enter my destination. But I mean, yeah, it's decadent but delicious.
With that, we are running out of time, so I'm going to take a quick break and then we're going to go to unpopular opinions.
Ooh.
Unpopular opinions, let your hate unfurl. Tell us what's grinding your gears this week. I can't wait to hear unpopular opinions. Unpopular opinions, what is the unpopular opinion of the week? Why Apple shouldn't make the AR glasses? I actually think that this should happen, so I think I have the unpopular opinion, but I will let one of you haters start off. Why shouldn't we have this? Why do you not want us to have nice things?
They're just a bit lame. Like, we don't need them. Like, smartphones, okay, at the start people are like, these things are, you know, a bit OTT, but now we live and die by them almost. But mobile phones have been around for 20, 30 years and have cemented themselves in our lives. People have dabbled with AR glasses and smart glasses for the past, at least 10 years in sort of modern tech times at least. And none of them have really taken off. Google Glass was fun, but it was limited and it was always only a developer option, but people could buy them and it was okay, but you looked a bit weird. And then there was the whole question of, are you recording me while we're trying to talk? Are you listening to me or are you just watching something on your little screen? We're already so obsessed with our mobile phones. To have a pair of glasses constantly feeding us information in front of our very eyes, it's just going to disconnect us further from the real world.
But Apple, typically I am an Apple hater, but this is the one time that I think that Apple could make this happen for real. Like, this is the one time I'm counting on Apple to Columbus this whole thing and show the world how it's done. Yes, true, AR glasses have not taken off. They've either been developer only and ridiculously expensive, as in the case of the HoloLens and a few other, and then there's Magic Leap, which I don't even know if Magic Leap is in the picture anymore. I'm very confused as to what is going on with Magic Leap. What's the deal with Magic Leap? I do not know. I know that they are going for more funding and we have yet to really get a consumer prototype or very many developer prototypes. But Apple, Apple can do this in a way where it doesn't look weird. You don't look like a nerd. Like it doesn't bring out my inner 80s high school bully. Like, give me your lunch money geek. And I think that they've already been working with ARKit, and I think it's only a matter of time before they crack the formula on how to make this a consumer ready product.
Yeah, it's interesting, John. You started that by saying they're lame and unnecessary. And I think a lot of people are making the same argument when the iPad is announced, right? Like, it's totally unnecessary. It's got a stupid name. I don't need it. I've got my iPhone. And now iPads are, you know, not everybody has one by any means, but they're around, right? They're popular. They do well for Apple. So I think part of me feels like if anybody can do it, Apple can do it. And at the same time, I don't think it'll work. I'm undecided.
I side with John on this. I don't know if Apple can make this device idea work. I keep thinking of things like, you know, maybe the HomePod. We're going to put out a product and everyone else is doing it. We're going to try it and put our own spin on it. And then there ends up not being enough features to support interest in it that, you know, makes it stand out above what other folks have done. I can't really picture what Apple is going to do with a pair of glasses that make it a worthwhile buy. Are they going to put headphones in it like Bose did? Are they going to have sort of like turn-by-turn AR navigation in it? You know, what could they possibly do that someone else hasn't done? And what can they do to actually make it interesting enough to motivate people to buy it? I can't picture that.
I'm imagining FaceTime in the glasses while you're walking down the street.
What does the person see? Do they see like a real close-up of your left eye, like some sort of like horror movie?
I imagine the person on the other end of it sees your an emoji or something like that.
Yeah.
I do think that there's going to be turn-by-turn navigation. I think Apple is low-key buying up a bunch of AR companies, quiet as kept, and when it launches, they're going to launch it like Apple launches it. And by the way, oh, this, and make it seem effortless, and then everyone's going to be on the AR bandwagon like they should be.
But it seems like people have tried to get on the AR bandwagon, Apple included, for years now. Like, the last few big Apple events, they've had AR demos. Like, was it last year's iPhone launched, we had like an AR demo of Minecraft and we were holding up an iPad and it was like
that's
my fundamental issue. No one needs this AR. It's so needless, the whole thing
is hold up a 10-inch tablet or a phone. Like, the lactic acid in your arm, that build up in your arms, this is actually anatomy right now. Like, after a while, your arm starts getting weak and shaking, like you've been lifting weights, and no, you've just been holding out a 1-pound tablet in your hand and just trying to catch them all or play Angry Birds VR. No one wants AR in that sense. They want ER that's effortless, light, really, like, you don't have to think about it. You do a little hand motion and it does what it's supposed to do. That's what people want when they think about AR. Not AR on a tablet, not AR on a phone. Pokemon Go is great, but no, like, nobody wants AR like that, for real. I still mess with Pokemon Go from time to time and I never turn on the AR.
That's the first thing you turn off when you want to install it on a new phone. Nope.
Exactly. So
I feel like I'm just jumping from one side of the fence to the other here, but to go back to John's side of this, Microsoft did do that with HoloLens. They first demoed HoloLens with Minecraft and everybody was like, oh my God, it's amazing. And then HoloLens disappeared and nobody heard of it. And then they came out with HoloLens 2 because HoloLens was being used by like the army and the military and construction companies and in all these weird commercial settings that nobody else knew about. And they were like, HoloLens was great. So now here's HoloLens 2. And again, here's Minecraft, but we're not actually going to release that to the public. And so AR sits in this weird space for me where it's like, nobody's done it well consumer-wise. You're absolutely right. It is the first thing you turn off when you download Pokemon Go. But I'm also excited to see if somebody can do it well, and why not Apple?
Thank you, Matt, for ending this on a positive note. This has been Noise Cancelling, you haters. Again, I am Sherelle Smith, and if you want to stalk me on social, my Twitter and Instagram is Miss Smith 11, M-I-S-S Smith. Well, I can't spell. Why can't I spell for the second week in a row? M-I-S Smith. Whatever. Figure it out. It's Miss Smith 11. And for more things on Laptop Mag, I guess I've just gone pandemic crazy and it's just affected my spelling skills. It's fine. For more things on Laptop Mag, come to Laptop Mag. Go and see us on Facebook. Comment on Facebook because I don't think we have forums yet, but they're coming to Laptop. So stay tuned for that. Also, we're looking for freelancers. So if you have a passion for laptop, tablets, or anything that can plug into either device, please, oh, please hit us up.
Yeah, and I'm Matt Phillips. You can find me at Matt P Video on all the social networks. And head to the Tech Radar YouTube channel and subscribe. Tech Radar Facebook page. We put our videos up there as well. And obviously listen to more episodes of the Noise Cancelling Podcast on all your favorite podcasting services.
Ken, John, you want to sign out?
I'm Kenneth Butler. I'm the social media editor for all the tech brands that I mentioned earlier. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, it's K Rich Butler on Twitter. And, you know, follow all of us, guys. Follow Tech Radar, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram. Follow Laptop Mag, Twitter, and Facebook. Follow Tom's Hardware, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter. And follow Tom's Guide and all the usual places. I won't need to say it again. We're everywhere, baby. We're everywhere.
And he's busy. He's busy as I can. He is busy. I'm John McCann, Deputy Editor, Tech Radar. As Sherry said, we're all looking for new writers, young, old, experienced, not experienced. We'd love just to hear from you. Reach out. There's how to pitch articles on our sites as well if you're not quite sure how to approach us. And hit me up at JJ McCann on Twitter.
And once again, this is Noise Cancelling. And just to remind you, we are part of the Audio Boom Originals Network. Please check out Life Little Mysteries as well. And if you like us, and I know you do, please give us 5 stars on Spotify and Apple. Can you give us 5 stars on Spotify? If you can't...
No, you can just follow on Spotify, but please do that as well.
Yeah, do all of that. Do all of that nice stuff for us. And we will see you next week. Bye!
See ya.
Bye, everyone.